You are listening to the New Vision Church podcast, a community to belong, be loved, and believe.
So, you know, today we're talking about Palm Sunday, and you're saying, what in the world does all this have to do with church and Jesus? Because I want to say this, let all the peeps praise, right? Let all the peeps praise. And see, what we've got to understand is this, is right, is that God deserves our praise, and all the people should praise the Lord. Amen? Now, let me give you some statistics. These really don't matter to anything, but, you know, since we're kind of all distracted right now, let me try to bring you back, right? It used to take 27 hours to make a peep. Can you imagine that? 27 hours, because they had to hand squeeze each one and each part of the peep. An average of 5.5 million peeps are made every day, and peeps used to have wings, but they realized that they could make them faster without the wings, right? Then more than 1.5 billion are consumed each year. I don't know how that's possible. They're disgusting. Yeah. Oh. Yeah, well, yeah, maybe they're just burned in the fire, right? Each peep is only 28 calories, so there you go. If you're looking for something fat-free, this is a good alternative. And every year, about 2 billion peeps candies are produced, and that's enough to circle the earth 2.5 times, okay? If you put them right nose to nose all the way around, 2.5 times around the world. Now, as Daniel already alluded to, we're talking about this passage in the scripture he read from Matthew. We're going to look at the passage in Luke today, but the same story. And I'm going to read this to you. It says, "And when he had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And when he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of his disciples, saying, 'Go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt or a donkey on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? You shall say this, the Lord has need of it.' So those who were sent away and found it just as he told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, 'Hey, why are you untying the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord has need of it.' And so they said, 'Okay,' right? And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their cloaks and on the colt, they sat Jesus on it. And as they rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. And as he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' And then some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' And Jesus answered and said, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out.'" Now think about that. Let that sink in for a minute, right? That Jesus has now come into town, and he hasn't had this kind of reception the whole time of his ministry. He's been accosted, he's been mocked, he's been made fun of. The Pharisees are always trying to find a way to kill him. And when they see Jesus getting this kind of reception, they come to the disciples and say, "Hey, you know, we need to quiet these people down. You're causing a commotion. There's a ruckus in here." Wouldn't it be something if there was a ruckus in this place today because of what Jesus was doing? Right? Wouldn't it be something if just a ruckus broke out? And all of a sudden, the news had to report on what was going on at New Vision Church because of God's goodness. So this morning, the challenge is going to be, let all the peeps praise. The challenge is going to be that we would look at ourselves and say that we do have something to praise God about. Amen? Before we get to that, though, I want you to realize something. It says in that passage that Jesus was drawing near. He was drawing near to Bethphage. He was drawing near to Bethany. He was drawing near to Jerusalem, right? He's drawing near to all of these places. I think Jesus actually is drawing near back. His return is coming soon. And this morning, I believe that his Holy Spirit is even drawing near to us, right? He's drawing near to Fayetteville. He's drawing near to Emmon Road. He's drawing near to New Vision Church. And he's drawing near to you. That you're not here by mistake, that you're not here just because, oh, well, you know, we're just going to happen across New Vision Church. I know some of y'all had to actually go online and search for us to find us. But, you know, the thing about it is this. As long before you were looking for us, God was looking for you. And today, he's drawing near to you. And even though this is Palm Sunday, it's the beginning of what we call Holy Week, God has been searching for you. He's been looking for you. He's been reaching out to you your whole life. And this week that we look at Holy Week, there are several events that happen in Jesus' life. There are a lot of things that transpire over these next 7 days in Jesus' life. And like I said already, on Thursday, we're going to celebrate some of that. Friday, we're going to take a really in-depth look at what happened on the cross for Jesus, why that is so significant for us. And then, of course, next Sunday, we will gather together to celebrate his resurrection because he did not remain on the cross and he certainly did not remain in the grave. But today we're going to focus on these events specifically around Palm Sunday. And it's called Palm Sunday because on this day, all the peeps came out. All the peeps showed up. And everybody was there and they were shouting, Hosanna. They were shouting, Blessed be the one who comes in the name of the Lord. They were throwing down their coats and they were making this walkway kind of like a red carpet, right? Because this was a celebration of who Jesus was, of all that he had been doing in their midst. And they couldn't help but say, hey, man, he's the one. This is the one. He's the Messiah. So this morning, I want you to understand this, that Jesus deserves every ounce of praise he gets. Right, sometimes you feel like, man, you know, I did a good job, and somebody ought to, like, high-five me. Somebody ought to pat me on the back, and you don't get it. You know what? Sometimes you get it, sometimes you don't. But Jesus deserves every ounce of praise he gets, and he deserves praise from every one of us. And the Bible tells us this, that one day, it doesn't matter whether you're a believer or not, even Satan himself is going to bow a knee and confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. The Bible tells us things in heaven, things on earth, things under the earth. That means even those who are already past and might be spending eternity in hell are still going to bow their knee and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so in Psalm 150, we're told, we're given this command, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, right? Praise the Lord. Back in the 1800s, there was this gentleman who used to train horses, and there was a pastor who was in need of a horse and needed a carriage and all this kind of stuff. And so he had talked to this gentleman about training a set of horses for him. And he said, hey, pastor, you know, I've trained these horses for specific things. If you want the horse to go, you say, praise the Lord. He said, if you want the horse to stop, you say, amen. The pastor said, oh, I can handle that, right? And so when he got in the carriage, right, he got up there and he was like, giddy up. And the man said, no, I told you, you have to say, praise the Lord. And so the pastor's like, that's right, that's right. And he was like, praise the Lord. And the horses just took off. I mean, he was like, whoa, right? And he's running toward, like wild, like crazy down this road. And the pastor's like, stop, stop, stop. He's like, tell him amen. He's like, amen. And the horses just stop right before it crashes into a tree. And the pastor's like there. He's like, oh, praise the Lord, right? You see, we've got to get to the place where praising the Lord just rolls off our tongues, right? We've got to get to a place where we understand that the Lord is worthy of all praise. So let's take a moment and let's have a 10-second praise party, right? Let's praise the Lord. Amen? Amen. Yeah. He's worthy of all praise. He's worthy of all praise. Amen. You see, we need to use our breath for more than just staying alive. Because you need to understand this. The only reason you have breath is because of the Lord. That he's the one who's allowed you to be alive. He's the one that's breathed life into you. How many times, right, do we wake up in the morning and we say, oh, yeah, I just don't even want to get out of bed. Well, let me help you understand this, right? Is that the Lord has created you to give you life and life to the fullest, life abundantly. And that's not just saying, oh, I dread every day. Listen, if you're dreading every day, you might need to look at something a little differently. Because the Lord has allowed you to live for a reason. But if you don't want to live, right, he can take care of that. But God has allowed you to live for a reason, and he wants you to use your breath for good things. He wants you to use your breath to praise Him. He wants you to use your breath to encourage others. He wants you to use your breath for something meaningful. Now, your breath is important. Try to hold it for more than 2 minutes. If you were to try to do that, I'm telling you this. Within 2 minutes, you're going to be like, because breath is important. And what you do with your breath is important. We need to use our breath for more than just murmuring and complaining. We need to use our breath for more than gossiping. We need to use our breath for more than comparing ourselves against other people. We need to use our breath to praise the Lord. Amen? And anytime we're doing some of those other things I just mentioned, we're not praising the Lord. You know what we're trying to do? We're trying to puff ourselves up. Trying to make someone else look bad so we can look better. So let's be careful with what we do with our breath, because every breath comes from the Lord. It says, and when he had said these things, he went up ahead, and he was going to Jerusalem, and when he drew to Bethphage and to Bethany at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of his disciples, saying, go into the village in front of you, and where on entering you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Now, that's interesting, right? This is important because this colt was reserved for the Lord. Think about that. That the Lord said, no, I'm not going to have a used vehicle. Some of y'all might feel like that, right? Well, I'm telling you, with the price of cars nowadays, we're going to drive a used vehicle. But the Lord was like, no, I'm going to have a vehicle that's never been used. This one is reserved for me. And so he says, when you see that colt, untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you untying it? You just simply say, the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent away, they found the colt just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, the owner said to him, why are you untying that colt? And they said, the Lord has need of it. This is what one of the things that I saw from this passage that I want to communicate to you is that sometimes we think that the things that have been given to us are for us. But the owners of this colt realized, this colt is not for us. This colt is for the Lord. Nobody's going to use it but the Lord. And so when they saw these two men coming up, now I have to assume they didn't know that those two men were with Jesus. They saw somebody messing with the colt they had reserved for the Lord. And they said, what are you doing untying that? That's not yours. And they said this, the Lord has need of it. And that's all the owners needed to hear. We save this for the Lord. The Lord needs it. The Lord can have it. What has the Lord given to you that you've been trying to keep for yourself? What has the Lord given to you that you even said, Lord, this is reserved for you, but you know what? You let other people have access. Let's think about our minds for a minute. How many times have we said, Lord, this mind belongs to you, but you've given access to a lot of other things? Lord, this body belongs to you, but you've given access to a lot of other things. Lord, my time belongs to you, but you know what? Our time goes to all these other things. Oh, it's reserved for the Lord, but, oh yeah, okay, yeah, you can have some of that. We need to make sure that if we reserve something for the Lord, that we give it to the Lord. Another interesting thing about this passage is it says he came in riding on a donkey. I always thought, you know, that's kind of weird. Why is Jesus riding on a donkey? I mean, I get the whole humility thing, right? I get that. But there's more to it than that. You see, when you go to war, you don't go to war on a donkey, do you? What are you riding in a war? Well, nowadays a tank, yeah, right? But back in Jesus' day, thank you, Angela, yes, right? Back in Jesus' day, they're not riding a donkey into war. They're riding horses. But Jesus comes in on a donkey. Why? Because he's trying to communicate. I'm not here trying to go to war with you. I'm not here trying to fight with you. And so many people feel like that. They feel like, man, God is just at war with me. Listen, God's not at war with you. You're at war with God. How many times has God reached out trying to show you lovingly, hey, this is what you need to do. This is where you need to go. This is how you should live. And yet we rebel and we fight and we war against God. And Jesus doesn't come in riding on a horse. He comes riding in on a donkey because he's trying to communicate, I am the Prince of Peace. I have come in peace. I have come to restore peace. I want your relationship with my Father to be one of peace. And that's why I'm here. And so Jesus comes riding in on a donkey to help communicate that picture. But you know what? One day, Jesus is going to come riding in on a horse. When he comes riding in on that horse, it's not going to be just for war. It's going to be for victory. And he's going to lead a parade where he is the champion. He is the conquering king. So why did these owners let the donkey go? Because the donkey was reserved for the king. I want you to think for a moment about yourself. If you were these owners, if you were the ones who had reserved this for the Lord, how much has God given you and how much have you given back to him? Why did they simply let the donkey go? Because they realized the donkey came from the Lord in the first place. Why should we use our breath to praise the Lord? Because our breath came from the Lord in the first place. Why should we give our lives to the Lord? Because your life comes from the Lord in the first place. And so what we may need to learn from these owners simply is that we need to be willing to let God have anything we have. Everything we have comes from the Lord. We might even, look, do we even know who these owners were? We don't know their names. We don't know anything about them except they had something that they gave to the Lord anonymously. How much anonymous stuff have you done? You know, sometimes we want to put our name on everything, right? Oh, you know, yeah, it's like, yeah, I did that, and man, I felt good about it, you know, and it's great to go and serve the Lord, but you know, I'm glad I went, right? And sometimes we end up trying to take all the credit. Sometimes, again, we're looking for that pat, or we're looking for that you know, hey, great job, man, good job. And we all need encouragement. But what if God wanted you to do something anonymously? Would that be hard for you to do? To know that nobody else would know? To know that nobody else would be saying, hey, yeah, that's awesome. I saw you do that. Listen, the only one who needs to see it does see it. And so they were letting Jesus have the spotlight. It wasn't on them. The spotlight was on Jesus. And this is what we've got to understand when it comes to praising the Lord, right? It's all about Jesus. It's all about pointing people to him. It's all about understanding that he is the one who is worthy of all praise. Amen? And so, let's take another 10-second praise party. Let's praise the Lord. Amen? Because he's worthy of all praise. He's worthy of all praise. And you see, what we've got to do is we've got to get into the habit of praising the Lord. Amen? Now look, I know for some of y'all, because if I was sitting out there and there was a guy up here telling me to do that, I'd be like, uh-uh. That's weird. You're weird. Right? That's how I would feel. I'm just being honest with you. But this is one of the things why I'm challenging you, I'm trying to challenge myself, is saying that we've got to get to the place where we're comfortable being vocal about praising the Lord. Right? Because, listen, if we can go to a ball game and we can cheer for Atlanta United, or we can cheer for the Falcons who are going to lose every game in the last 5 minutes, right? If we can go and cheer for them, if we can do all that, if we can cheer for the Hawks and they're going to have a, you know, listen, why can't we choose for the Lord who looked like he lost but he won? Right? Amen, right? He's worthy of our praise. And so we've got to get comfortable praising the Lord. So I want you to understand this morning that Jesus deserves praise because of who, Jesus deserves praise regardless of who we are, because he's the one who made us. You know, sometimes, again, it's not necessarily my personality to be sitting out there. You know, I don't get all hyped up in the seats. I don't wear paint all over my face, you know, and do all that kind of stuff. Now, I will do it for the Lord. but I ain't going to do it for the Hawks, right? There are certain things I'll do for Jesus I ain't going to do for anybody else, like getting up here, right? So I want you to understand, there are certain things I will do for Jesus, but I ain't going to do it for you. I'm not going to do it for another team. And I'm willing to be stressed and pulled out of my comfort zone some because of Jesus, not because of anybody else. But one of the things we got to understand is sometimes, you know, it's like, look, I know if this is not your personality, right? You don't have to do it. Nobody's trying to make you do something that's not you. God wants your praise to come from a sincere heart. God wants your love from a sincere heart. You don't have to be something you're not. And so Jesus, even though you have your own personality, you have your own background, your own way to worship and love God, that's good. But what we've got to understand this is that he does deserve your praise regardless of who you are, regardless of how you're made. There are some times when you're just going to have to say things that might make you feel uncomfortable. You're going to have to do things that might make you feel uncomfortable. And the reason we do this for the Lord is because, well, he's the one who made me. He deserves all the praise because he made me. And listen, even if you don't like you, he loves you. Even if you don't like how you are made, he loves you the way you are because that's the way he made you. Look at Acts 17:24. It says, the God who made the world and everything in it, he is Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in shrines made by hands. What does that mean? It means this, that he doesn't live in these tabernacles, these buildings. He doesn't live in these man-made things. He lives in God-made things, which means he lives in you. He lives in you. And if God, the God who made you, lives in you, I'm telling you this, he delights in you. Colossians 1:16, it says, for everything was created by him in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones, these are types of angels, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him, and look at this, for him. You think maybe you're created for somebody else. You know, it's like people who are single looking for somebody else. You know, I'm just trying to find my rib. Check out Shane's down the road, right? Look, you weren't made for somebody else. You are made for God. You are made for Jesus. And Jesus wants a relationship with you. That's why you're created. Look at Psalm 139, verses 13 through 17. It says, For it was you who created my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Look at, here it is. I will praise you. I will praise you. Because you're the one who made me who I am. And even though you might look in the mirror sometimes and you just say, I don't like who I am. Well, you better get over that. Because God don't make junk. Right? He says, I will praise you. Look at this. Because I've been made remarkably and wonderfully. Your works are wonderful, and I know this very well. My bones were not hidden from you when I was made in secret, when I was formed in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw me when I was formless, and my days were written in your book and planned. Now, let me kind of blow your mind here for a minute. Before you were made, God already knew you. He already knew how long you were going to live. He already knew what kind of hair you're going to have, if you weren't going to have hair at all. He knew it. Before you were even a twinkle in your mom and daddy's eyes, he knew you. Your eyes saw me when I was formless. All my days were written in your book and planned before a single one of them began. Even before you were conceived, he knew you. God, how difficult your thoughts are for me to comprehend. How vast the sum, their sum is. He's saying this, if you try to add up all these thoughts that God has for you, you can't even count a number that high. Listen, you think our national debt is high. You try to count that number, I can't even imagine that many zeros. But listen, God thinks about you more than that. More than those zeros, you can't even comprehend how much God thinks about you. And so you should praise him because he's the one who made you. Listen, Jesus deserves praise because he's given us all that we have. So not only has he made us, he's given us everything that we have. Everything that you have comes from God. Look at this verse, 1 Corinthians 4:7. It says, for who makes you superior? What do you have that you didn't receive? If in fact you did receive it, why do you boast as if you hadn't received it? Paul is making this argument. He's saying this. How can any of us go around acting like, yeah, I did this. I did this. You didn't do it. God gave you the ability to do it. God even gave you a brain so that you could learn how to do it. Now, I know there's some people who are born gifted, and man, you know, it's incredible. You see these, you know, people who, these phenoms, right, who can play the piano at 2 years old, you know, whatever. I mean, they're just doing all these incredible things. But you know what? God gave them that talent. It wasn't that they were just, you know, somehow supernaturally born that way. It was God. But even those people who work at learning to play the piano and work and work and work and master it, God gave them that ability to learn how to do that. You might have some other skill, some other ability in your toolbox that you're able to do. And you know what? It came from God. It came from God. So why? How can we go around boasting, acting like, well, yeah, this is what I did? No, it's what God did through you. It's what God has allowed you to do with the life that he has given you. James 1:17 says this, every generous act and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. Everything we have comes from God. The problem is when we don't acknowledge that it comes from God. The problem is when we think, hey, this is my accomplishment. This is my success. This is my house. This is my car. This is my. You know who says those kind of things? 3-year-olds. It's mine, right? It's coming up on you, Devin. You're going to be hearing that. Yeah, right? And what we've got to be careful is, right, we don't need to be spiritual 3-year-olds. Walking around saying, oh, it's mine. This is what I did. It's mine. It belongs to me. No, it belongs to God. This is the Lord's. This is the Lord's colt. If the Lord wants it, the Lord can have it. Even if you didn't reserve it for the Lord, you know what? If the Lord comes to you and says, well, you know, I know you didn't set that aside for me, but I want it. You know what you're going to say? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. My soul, here it is, praise Yahweh. Yahweh is the name of God. It's not just a title of God, it's his name. And so his name was so holy that the Israelites wouldn't even pronounce his name. Right? They would call him other names, other titles, Elohim, Adonai. And then they had these other names that they would call God if he would do something in a certain place, right? The Lord is my banner. They would say these different kind of things referring to God because his name was so holy they wouldn't pronounce his name. And so in our translations now, we have some translations that show us where God's particular formal name is mentioned so that we can realize this is who they're talking about. This is who they're talking to. This is not just a title. They're referring to God in person. My soul, praise the God who is, was, and always will be. Praise him. And all that's within me, praise his holy name. My soul, praise the Lord and do not forget all his benefits. Listen, when we fail to praise God, you know what we've done? We've forgotten something. We've forgotten something. We've forgotten how good he's been. We've forgotten the blessings that he's given us. And you know what? We end up just like the Israelites. We complain, even all the good stuff, right? They were out in the wilderness. They didn't have any food. And God said, I'm going to create this manna for you. And they said, what is that? What's that? We don't even know what that is. And the Lord said, well, you're going to get it because that's what I'm giving you. And you better get used to it because you're going to eat it for 40 years. Can you imagine? This is why, right? It was really good for a while. And then they were like, well, you know, I'm kind of used to this. I want something else. Let's change it up, God. And God was like, no, you've forgotten that you didn't have anything at one time. And now you want something different? How quick we forget, right? Why don't you give thanks for what you got? Why don't you give thanks for how I'm providing for you? Right? Look at this. In case you need some help on what to praise the Lord for, that he's forgiven all your sin. That's enough to praise him for eternity, right? Amen. That he's forgiven all your sin, not just one, not just the bad ones. He's forgiven all of them. He heals all your diseases. Who in here has been healed from some diseases, right? That God has performed some healing in your life, right? And let me just say this, that doesn't always mean physical diseases. Some of us got some, and I'm talking about some emotional cancer that eats you up. You've got some like dysfunction in your heart, right? Look at this. He redeems your life from the pit. He crowns you with faithful love and compassion, and he satisfies you with goodness. Your youth is renewed like the eagle. This is a great starting place for praising the Lord. If you're having trouble praising the Lord, you need to read these few verses maybe for the next few days and start recounting all the things the Lord has done for you. Y'all remember that old song, right? Praise Him, praise Him. And there was another song called Count Your Many Blessings. And it went on and said this, name them one by one. Look, this is spring break. You got some time, you know, this holy week. That if you're down in the dumps, start naming them one by one. Start taking an honest look and saying, okay, God, this is what you've done. I can't deny it. You did that. You did that. You did what somebody else tried to take credit for, but it was you, right? Start naming them one by one. That psalm ends up in 20 and 22. Praise the Lord, all his angels of great strength who do his word, obedient to his command. Praise the Lord, all his armies, his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works. In all the places where he rules, my soul, praise the Lord. Does the Lord rule in your life? That's the question. If he rules in your life, then you should have something to praise the Lord about. Amen? And so, Jesus deserves praise because he is the Lord. He deserves praise because he is the Lord. He's not just coming in the name of the Lord. He's not just representing God. He is God. He's not just showing up saying, well, I'm here, you know, on behalf of my Father. No, he said, I am God. I am the Lord. Psalm 18:3 says this, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. There is no one who's going to be able to save you aside from Jesus Christ. No one who can save you from yourself. No one who can save you from your sin. No one can save you from the enemy except Jesus. Isaiah 43, 21 said this, the people whom I formed for myself, that's you, that they might, look, why do you exist? You exist to praise the Lord. You exist to praise his name. God has allowed you the breath in your lungs that you might expel it in praise to his name. Hebrews 13, 15 says this, through him, let us continually offer, look at this, a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. You know why it's called a sacrifice of praise? Do you know what a sacrifice is? A sacrifice is giving up something that you don't want to give up. And so when he says, let us sacrifice praise, this is what he's saying. When we wake up tomorrow morning and you don't feel like getting out of bed, when you wake up tomorrow and you're having a rough day, you're going to have to praise the Lord because that's a sacrifice. Because you don't feel like it. You don't want to do it. But you know what? You need to use the breath in your lungs to say, praise the Lord. Because listen, even if you don't feel like it, if it's your last breath, praise God. Listen to this. You praise God with that breath when you don't feel it. And you do it again, and you do it again. You know what the Bible just told us? Yet your strength will be renewed because you chose to use a sacrifice of praise for his name. So if things are good, praise him. If things are bad, you better praise him. If the money's tight, you better praise him. There's a lot of praising that can go on with that, right? If you're having an overflow, then you praise him. If you're weary, praise him. And if you're having the time of your life, then praise him. The fact of the matter is this, we should praise God all the time. Amen? So as I wrap up, let the people praise. You see, praising the Lord is a natural response to a supernatural God. It should be a natural response to a supernatural God. That when we see God working in and around us, Maybe you're not going to shout it, but you can say it. You don't have to shout it, but you can say it. Praise the Lord. Praise His name for what He's done. And let me tell you this. Jesus said it so clearly, that if you choose to remain silent, the rocks will cry out. That's right. Don't let the rocks outpraise you. Don't let the rocks outpraise you. You see, some of us, we want to praise the Lord like a little peep, right? Just a peep. Just a little peep. Right? But we need to be willing to be the people of praise. We need to be the ones who are willing to outshout the rocks, right? And this is what we've got to understand, is that He's worthy of it all. And if He's worthy of it all, we should be willing to let everyone know. Right? Amen. So if the band wants to come on up, I think we need to let all the peeps praise the Lord. Right? Amen. Amen. Jesus, we give You thanks and praise because You are worthy of all of it. And today, we lift up our voices. We're going to shout and sing. We're going to praise Your name. Because this is the day the Lord has made, and I'm going to choose to rejoice and be glad in it. Amen? So you take a few moments and you praise the Lord in your own way. However you want to do it, you praise the Lord. You can say it. You can pray it. You can shout it. You can sing it. You can do whatever you want to do to praise the Lord because He is worthy of all praise. Amen and amen.